Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today. I always look forward to this time with you by way of Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Let me remind you that during the course of this broadcast, at any point in time, you can jump in with your dialogue, your discussion, your questions, your responses to what I might say. I'd love to hear from you. It's always a joy to hear from you as to your opinion, your thoughts, your insight. We've had some super good calls with great insight as to the scenario that we're discussing each day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question or comment with this dialogue and discussion today. Today we're going to be talking about the Christian's dilemma. The Christian's dilemma. And I'm talking about the dilemma as to what Christians ought to do and how Christians ought to respond in relationship to the fiat, arbitrary executive orders by mayors and governors across America. As I have said so many times in the past recent days and weeks on this broadcast, law is when it is debated and discussed in the House and the Senate on a state level, and a bill is passed and signed by the governor, that becomes a state law. Same is true for a federal law. When it is debated, discussed, the input from the people on a national level by way of our representatives that we've elected and placed in office, the bill is then passed, signed into law by the president. It becomes a federal law. But until that process takes place, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the law of the land. It's not a law. It's fiat rules and regulations, executive orders by wannabe dictators that we're finding so prevalent in society today. By the way, I'd have never dreamed 6 months ago that we would have had this kind of network of many tyrants as we found in America today. But that's come about as a result of an international pandemic, and that pandemic has brought about panic, chaos, confusion, fear. And as Attorney General Bill Barr said, so many hiding under their beds, and I've used the term hiding in the closets. And Christians are doing that, ladies and gentlemen, hiding in the closet, hiding under the beds, fearful to do anything lest the government says it's okay to do it. And I contend that that's bringing about a tremendous, large, almost insurmountable dilemma among multitudes of Christians today. So we're going to look at, in today's broadcast, a broad picture and funnel down to what does the Bible say. We're going to look at 1 Peter, 2 Peter, look at Romans. We're going to look at what the Bible says in relationship to what you should do, what I should do, and what we're free to do. We'll examine that in the light of not just Scripture, but in the light of the Constitution and the liberties that we have in the Constitution that our founding fathers gave their lives for. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. We're looking at truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." That's what Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then Jesus makes a declaratory statement in John 17, 17, where he says, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we can never go wrong. Hear me. It is an impossibility to go wrong if we make choices and decisions based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I commend that to you. It's called having a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview. Perhaps you've heard me say before on some occasions, one occasion in particular comes to mind, someone said, "Are you an Arminianist or a Calvinist?" I said, "Neither." And he said, "Then what are you?" I said, "A central biblicist." And he looked right odd at me and he says, "What does that mean?" I said, "It simply means, what does the Bible say?" That's the first, foremost, and final authority, and it should be the final authority in your life and in mine. And Jesus says, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the word of God. And it's truth that we fight for. It's truth that we seek. It's truth that we should defend. It's truth that we should stand for in the society in which we're living today. George Orwell said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But the best statement comes from a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And may I commend that to you? And I think we'll see, ladies and gentlemen, if I can just do a little parenthetical footnote to my statement. I believe that as Christians, we will see, we will live in the day when we're seeing the further escalation and the unfurling of persecution of the church and the Christians. We're going to need to take a stand on the truth of the Word of God. We're going to need to take a stand on what is truth, regardless of what the world says or does. We need to take a stand on truth, whether we live or die. We ought to stand on truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, seek the truth, live the truth, tell the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to defend the truth, even to death. This portion of today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, they have a full line of power equipment for the lawns and landscape for the professional as well as the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Old St. Augustine Road, that 11291, is located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. I've said it before, and let me say it again, at the risk of redundancy. If you want to know where Tools for Time is located, find the gigantic flag, U.S. flag, flying at the intersection of I-295, Old Glory flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, are you in a dilemma? Are you concerned about how you should respond to the so-called pandemic? And by the way, let me just do all, I must do this. You've heard me say it so many times. We have been lied to, deceived, and put in a box, as I call it, by our governance, those that are over us, those that are mayors and governors, and even from the federal level. We've been lied to. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Tedros with the World Health Organization, Dr. Birx have all said less than 90 days ago that 2.2 million people would die in America unless we did so. We're able to do something to quell the numbers and tamp down those numbers. Well, when as time passed, they changed that and said, well, about a half a million. And then they said somewhere between 100 and 240,000. Now Dr. Fauci himself is saying that it will probably be around 60,000. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to and deceived, and as a result of the lie and the deception, and I believe our president has been duped, some would use the word in modern term, punked. He's been punked into believing or duped into believing these numbers because of Dr. Fauci and others with the white jackets and because of the Communist Network News, better known as CNN, and the liberals in the media. They started immediately attacking President Trump because he did not believe in science. In fact, the relentless, unrelenting attack on President Trump has been going on since he went into office. But ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to and deceived, and as a result of that deception, we've been in lockdown now across America for about 5 or 6 weeks. They're just now talking about the potentiality of taking the ankle bracelets off, allowing you to take the locks off your doors, allowing us to be free people once again. And even at that, it will not be, ladies and gentlemen, it will not be, and may I say again, at the risk of redundancy, it will not be a free people. If there are any controls on our freedom, it's not a free people. And they're talking about having potentially requiring some type of immune certificate to show that we do not have the coronavirus. In fact, one flag that went up as far as a representation of how we ought to open the businesses back up, some counties, some states are even still looking forward to adhering to this, that there would be a need for basically temperature police standing outside the door. Let's picture you're going into your barbershop, your beauty shop, or you're going into a restaurant, and you've got the temperature police standing there with a thermometer gauge that will read your temperature without touching your body, just by focusing it on your forehead. And if you've got an elevated temperature, better known as a fever, then you're not allowed to come into the restaurant or go into the place of business. Some are talking about having the wristbands or the armbands, that if you've got a pale blue, that means that you are immune. If you've got a pink armband, that means that you're not immune. Therefore, you will not be able to go in to buy, sell, trade, open your business, etc. It goes back to the foreshadowing of Revelation chapter 13, where the mark of the beast will be the days of the Antichrist. You've got to have a mark in your head or your hand. That is an identifiable relationship with the one that's in charge. It is talking about having that stamp of approval of authorization before you can buy, sell, trade, or open your business, as I call it in today's vernacular. So we're watching the precursor, the stage being set, the foreshadowing of things to come, eschatological events that's recorded in the scripture that shall take place after the church is raptured out. We'll not be here. If you're saved, you won't be here. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching some. By the way, I just happen to think that during the course of that brief statement, and we talked about Dr. Fauci, I've got an article here that I believe that I just need to go ahead and tuck in at this point. It says, FBI investigation targeted Dr. Fauci, but James Comey pulled the plug. And this is something you've not heard on any of the network news. The top U.S. scientist and research pioneer, Dr. J.D. Malkovich, said she cooperated with the FBI during the investigation of Dr. Anthony Fauci and the National Institute of Health, alleging Fauci was a workplace tyrant who was under investigation for swiping scientific research, covering up tainted vaccines. Hear that? Tainted vaccines. Doling out lucrative federal grants to feckless cronies and more, and much more. And this lady goes on to say she's had a long silence on the Thomas Paine podcast and revealed an insider nightmare spanning three decades of conducting research under the governmental control of Fauci. She said eventually her widespread allegations of fraud and abuse by Fauci helped spark an investigation by FBI. She also said that she cooperated with the law enforcement up to and through 2014. What happened to the probe, this article says? You won't even believe it when you understand what took place. The cover-up took place, the FBI, the Department of Justice, of a massive cover-up to protect Fauci and his associates and sweeping medical scams and that continue to endanger Americans. Another FBI scandal, another Justice Department scandal. By the way, that was James Comey, the FBI director, and Eric Holder, the Justice Department during the White House administration of Barack Hussein Obama, that did the cover-up and pulled the investigation of Dr. Fauci. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Fauci is supposed to be the final authority when it comes to telling the president and the federal government what we ought to do to, quote, protect us from ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we've all grown up. Listen carefully. This sets the stage for where we're going for this Let's Face the Issues broadcast today. We're talking about the Christian's dilemma. Should we obey these fiat tyrant-issued executive orders of lockdown? We'll talk about it a little further in the broadcast because there is a potential in talking about the possibility of opening up some areas of America. But we've all grown up hearing our parents say and our pastors say, and even the politician, political leaders tell us that we should obey the law. You've heard that, haven't you? Obey the law. The sign at the end of the street, at the intersection of the street, says STOP. By the way, I grew up hearing it called slide tires on pavement. That's not what it means. It means stop. And if you don't obey that stop sign, you're disobeying the law. And if you disobey the law, you can get a ticket or a fine or civil fine for disobeying what the law said. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, all of our civil laws are based on God's word called the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, etc., etc. God created three institutions, ladies and gentlemen, the home and government and the church, and he did so in that order. And in creating government, we have a biblical foundation for capital punishment. For example, going back to Genesis 9. I'm not going to turn to it and exegete it. Genesis chapter 9 is the first issuance of God's ordinance of capital punishment. We find the biblical authorization for the death penalty, for murder and for rape and other crimes. But what about national shutdown? What about shelter in place? What about social distancing? What about closing of the churches? What about the orders by our national governors and mayors and so forth? How should we respond? How should Christians respond to these fiat orders given by, as I call them, ten-horned tyrants? Ladies and gentlemen, if it counters what the Word of God says, if it counters my Constitution, I say, no, not on your life. There's not a requirement. We're going to look at that in a moment. There's not a requirement for a child of God to be dilemmified as to what I ought to do. We ought to obey God and not man when it comes down to disobeying God versus obeying government. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find that dilemma taking place across America. I've heard Christians, pastors, that will write and do large articles been posted on online media, some of the social media, where they're basically chiding and challenging other pastors that think that we should keep our churches open or we should continue to preach the gospel. In fact, some say, well, you know, I'm the Christian. The church is me. It's within me. We don't have to have a building. We don't have to have a place of worship. Ladies and gentlemen, that counters the first century church, the first century Christians. Sure, they met in the homes. They didn't have some of the major buildings as we have today. They met in the homes, but they met to study and to carefully review the Word of God and attend to the apostles' doctrines and to break bread, that is koinonia, fellowship, and having prayer together and going house to house sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's worship. God calls us together in worship for us to be prayerful and to be prepared, and then he sends us out to sow the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ in evangelism and outreach. But ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks perhaps listening today. You're in a dilemma. You're thinking, what should I do? How should I respond? I want to obey God, and I want to obey government. And wherein are we to look at one over the other and make the determination and the decision? Across America, thousands of churches have been closed some 4 to 6 weeks now. Some of these churches switched to social media. Some of them were worshiping from their cars with the pastors on their church roofs with a bullhorn preaching to the fellowship. But ladies and gentlemen, America is being transformed by this crisis. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, as you read these words, America is changing. We're changing because we're in the midst of a great and unprecedented crisis. And as the Nobel Prize winner economist Milton Friedman says, only a crisis actually perceived produces real change, or as Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, put it ominously, never let a good crisis go to waste. And he goes on to talk about what is taking place in America as a result of the so-called crisis and how it has changed America. It's changing every factor of life in America today. We need to understand that. I'm thankful, however, ladies and gentlemen, if I can tuck this in at this juncture, I'm thankful that there is a modicum of hope, a little light at the end of the tunnel with what some of the governors are saying and doing about opening our businesses back up. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. Hello?
Hello, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Oh, great, great. Thank you for taking my call. It's great to be on your show. I want to first just thank you for all your time and study. And I tell you, you have an incredible program, and the amount of information is just amazing. And we appreciate your ministry and service to Jacksonville.
Privilege of being able to do that. For our listeners to understand, it's a delight for me each day to come to our radio audience and talk about issues with a factual, declaratory position that does not leave anyone. It's not a possibility of anyone to listen to this broadcast and wonder where I stand. There's not any fence riding when it comes to what I say, and I believe we need to take seriously what's happening today. Go ahead with the statement or comment.
Well, that's right, and we appreciate, you know, we know where you stand, and you'll preach the truth and tell the truth no matter what. But for your listeners, my name's Raymond Johnson. I'm with Biblical Concepts Ministries, and I guess you could say a regular call-in visitor, so I appreciate your time. Just want to let the listeners know about a few happenings around town and some things going on concerning the shutdown and reopening. You know, we have the governor supposed to be making some decisions today. I've been busy all morning and hadn't heard anything or checked any news. But, of course, the mayor's talking about some soft reopenings and over time. And so, but what a lot of, I think, citizens are just ready to open up. It's time to get back to work. And
you got that
so,
right.
So I do know our ministry isn't hosting this event, but there's something coming up tomorrow I want to let everybody know about. We're just simply helping spread the word. So a handful of grassroots ladies have organized a freedom rally. They've done a couple of them. We had a successful one last week down at the courthouse, and we walked over to City Hall and came back to the courthouse. But we're doing another one tomorrow. And so tomorrow, April 30th, that's Thursday, April 30th at 5 o'clock, they're meeting down at Ballas Park in San Marcos. That's right at the San Marcos Square, Circle, whatever you want to call it. It's sort of a nonpartisan, non-religious event that these ladies have organized, but it's just a, you know, they call it a freedom rally, reopen Jacksonville rally. It's really just to let the governor and the mayor know, and of course, the citizens that will see us out there. We had about 100 people show up last week. We would love to double that. And we got some pretty decent media coverage last week, so hopefully we'll get that. But what we're going to do is be driving around or walking around. You take your choice right there at that circle and square there at San Marco. We will take a walk through a neighborhood and come back around and walk and a drive. And a little birdie has told me that I think we're going to be walking through the mayor's neighborhood because he lives over there. So just to make sure that he knows and we get a message across that, you know, we appreciate the work, but look, the facts, the statistics, the data shows it's time to open up. Okay. So feel free to join us. You can go to Facebook to get exact a little more details and see that time and all that. And that's going to be, you can go to Facebook at the Jacksonville Freedom Rally in San Marco. If you type that in, Jacksonville Freedom Rally in San Marco, on your Facebook search bar, you'll find some details and can RSVP. So I just want you to bring flags, banners, you know, signs, reopen Jacksonville, whatever. There was a lot of signs about Fire Fossey, which I'll get to that in a minute. You know, so just come join us if you can and let's show our patriotism and say, look, you know, enough's enough of this shenanigans. You know, there's just been too much manipulation and globalist agenda behind this shutdown. So it's time to, as Senator Rick Scott says, let's get to work. So, but one more thing I do want to tell your listeners about, too, is and I've emailed this out to our pastor list, and I think you've been talking about it last week and this week. But Liberty Counsel, one of the nation's leading international Christian law firms, actually, LC.org, Liberty Counsel, they are hosting Reopen Church. They have a separate website, reopenchurch.org, and they are pushing for this Sunday, May 3rd, is Reopen Church Sunday. So you can get some good details there, reopenchurch.org. That's sponsored by Liberty Counsel. And Florida Family Policy is actually hosting a weekly phone call for the next month to deal with some of these issues. So you can go to flfamily.org as well and find, you know, some details about those calls. But if you're a pastor or your church, whatever, and listen, if you're not planning on going back to church in person this Sunday, talk to your pastor or pastor, look at this. And, you know, I think it's time to let's start meeting again. And so reopenchurch.org. So
Raymond,
I just wanted to share that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Raymond. I'm glad that people hear that. Two or three things, if you would dialogue with me for a moment. I am saddened to see our churches have simply caved across America and closed by the thousands. We've had only a handful, probably. I'm going to guesstimate, there's no number out there, I'm going to guesstimate somewhere in the neighborhood of 100, 150 churches that continue to have services during the course of this panic hysteria and the lockdown by the federal government and by the mayors and the governor, mayors and the, yeah, the governors of our states. And I'm glad to see that there's a push by some major reputable leadership, as with Liberty Council, talking about reopen the churches. The churches never should have been closed. There's no rational reason, there's no constitutional reason, there's no biblical reason that churches should have closed. Bill Barr used the term, the Attorney General, that men are just simply hiding under the beds. And I've said for weeks and weeks and weeks now that pastors have hidden in the closet. In fact, right. I had one occasion just recently, my wife and I were talking about it. She said, I think a lot of pastors are finding it kind of a relief that they're just are not having to prepare to preach and just not in the pulpit. And my question has been generally, how long will this go if someone did not say, let's go back to work and let's open our churches? What is your position on that, Raymond? Do you think churches should have just bowed to the federal government and the state government's demand to close? Or is that an infringement on our constitutional rights, an infringement on the Word of God and what God says we need to do?
I've been listening for a couple weeks now as much as I could, and I know you've been discussing this a lot. I understand the health concern. I really do. I'm just sharing my personal opinion and what I think I hear from a lot of pastors. You know, I think in the beginning we were cautious. We needed to know what was going on. And I totally understand. I don't want to condemn any pastor that decided not to do service in person. Most of the ones, and by the way, for the listener's sake, our ministry is a ministry that we work with churches and pastors. And, I'm proud to say I've actually had several pastors call me during this time and asking, you know, just different thoughts and advice and making sure that it was good to get back open here recently. One called me in the very beginning, way back in late March, just, you know, really concerned about, just saying, hey, we got to just shut down. So I understand the health side of it, but I think what we found is, you know, as you've been discussing, a major hidden agenda, and maybe not so much in Jacksonville as other places where these very liberal Democratic governors and mayors and these crazy things that they've been doing, which really started in Tampa and just all over. I mean, there's a pastor in Louisiana you've been discussing that's got the ankle monitor and whatnot, was arrested. So I think that we need to stand up and say enough's enough, go back to church. If we can practice precautions, you know, I can tell you of at least about 10, 12 churches that mainly all small churches that were 100 people or less that have been meeting. My own church, I think we just didn't meet for 2 or 3 weeks, but we've been operating for a few weeks now under just a 90-minute Sunday morning service. We normally have Sunday night and a Tuesday night service. So most people are, I think a lot of them are getting ready to reopen, and I'm totally for that. I think, you know, we the numbers do not match. I understand the precaution in the beginning, but I do think pastors are starting to see this, but unfortunately there are some that just are oblivious. You know, there really are, and they need to understand. You know, it's almost like we forget as Christians, not just pastors, but as a whole, we almost forget that we read the back of the book. We read Revelation, and we understand
right.
these things. And it's almost as if that's right. It's almost as if we just don't understand. Well, practically, how does the book of Revelation play out? And we're seeing that. So I think that what we need to remember is how fast this thing's going to go down, and we're going to slide down this path of global government.
We've got about 30 seconds left for our news break. Before you go, share with our listeners again the rally tomorrow, what time and what place and who's invited.
Freedom Rally, anybody that's a patriot, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, San Marco Park. Come wave flags, drive around, walk with us, whatever you can do. Reopen Jacksonville.
Amen. Thank you for that, Raymond. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. We'll come right back. Don't turn your dials. Hang on there as we continue Let's Face the Issues broadcast today.
First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.